mean, although there should be sometimes too where you don't have to do a goddamn thing. If it's your birthday, you shouldn't have to do it, you know?
Or you just we get one night a year. This is my night.
I think there's a give and take.
I'm just going to sit here.
Sometimes you want to just be all giving, and sometimes you want to just take.
High Mystery.
Okay. Am I starting this one?
If you want to.
That's weird.
Welcome to High Mystery. It's the podcast where we get really high and talk about mysteries. Thank God you guys have me here, you know?
I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Robert.
And joining us at the fourth pillar spot, we've promoted Chris up from just being a filthy, disgusting sound guy into a full-blown human being.
You can't see it, but I'm waving.
That's right. There's no sitting in the corner just watching us with your beady little eyes. You got to participate.
That sounds like a demotion, actually.
We got some new sound equipment to hopefully allow Chris to, like, jump in with us more often and, you know, just complete us a little bit more. So from now on, you might hear the intro go a little bit more like this. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
Once again, I'm Robert.
I'm Chris.
Is he going to be sober today? I don't know.
I'm sober every time. Ooh. I have not yet partaken with you guys.
We'll see if he's able to hold on to that fourth spot or if Rob still needs to finish us out. With a long delay. And I'm Robert.
Yep.
This is the podcast where we smoke weed. We talk about mysteries. It is part two of our special Thanksgiving episode.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Do you guys know how to do a turkey call? You hold your, what's it called?
Esophagus? Adam's apple.
And you actually, like, as you go, oh, or whatever, you literally vibrate that.
Just jiggle it.
I don't know why. That's something you learn in Kentucky schools, so it ends up sounding like,
That reminds me of what David Cross did in Mr. Show. He would have to grab his neck and squeeze this like area, and it instantly makes your voice like at a super low register. And he would do that as like a singer or a rapper or something like that. And every time you saw him perform, he'd be basically choking himself. And he's like, I had to do that because when you do that, it makes you talk like this.
Oh, man. Oh, God. That was effective.
Yep.
I know the SpongeBob guy does, like, the laugh, and then he just,
Oh, really?
He was also on Mr. Show.
Indeed he was.
Now I want to have the SpongeBob guy on and ask him if he learned how to do turkey calls as a kid.
I assure you he had.
There aren't, like, wild turkeys in California, are there?
Yeah.
There are.
You just got to get to, like, the forested parts.
So. No, I've seen, I mean, not in the cities, but definitely, like...
Mm-hmm.
Just in the mountains here and stuff?
Well, in my hometown of Rio Vista, they have, like, this old folks community out there where it's got a big golf course and everything, and they're just turkeys just wandering about.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, whole family.
For some reason, I thought that was more of a my side of the, or my neck of the woods kind of thing.
No, I remember doing mushrooms one time and going to a park and there was a whole flock of them.
Did it teach you anything about yourself?
The flock of turkeys?
Yes.
No.
Come on. Come on.
I mean, is that your spirit animal now? Is that your Patronus?
I don't think so.
Seems logical to me.
Yeah.
That a whole flock of turkeys is now my spirit animal.
I mean, what would you say your spirit animal is if it's not a turkey?
Maybe an owl?
An owl?
Hmm.
Solid.
See, I feel like you're just probably underrating the coolness of a turkey.
Maybe.
Yeah. They're legit animals. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're smart.
Are they? I thought they die just like by looking up into the rain or something. Like
you should watch. There's a documentary.
Yeah, like isn't that why they have
rainstorm
to have like
storm just wipes out the entire turkey population?
Yeah.
You should watch this documentary where a guy, he actually spends a significant amount of time in the woods and he comes across a batch of wild turkeys and he raises them to imprint on him.
Oh.
And he raises them until they're full maturity, until they all like go away and everything. And It's a really cool documentary. Eventually, he becomes like such a part of the forest that the wild animals don't even regard him as human. They just are out in the open, unscared, and yeah, huh? It's a really cool documentary.
Like he does, the ape lady.
Yeah, pretty much. Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going towards that one movie where the girl raises the geese or ducks or whatever, yeah. And then she builds a plane to like help them migrate.
Yeah, yeah. Them fly like, south for the winter.
Yeah.
I think instinctually geese would just know. I think that movie's a reductionist.
So anyways.
She showed them the way.
What, do we have a podcast to do or something?
Well, we definitely have some weed to smoke.
Yeah, just to point out, we're coming off that last episode where we smoked the Thai stick. And it did smoke for the majority of the episode, so we're feeling fine. We're feeling loose. We're talking about Goose.
I mean, it's not Top Gun. We're not talking about Goose from Top Gun.
Tristan's about to spark his blunt over there. I assume it's a Twisted Hemp.
Twisted Hemp, and it's got that sweet Gushers.
Sweet Gushers.
Sweet, sweet Gushers.
I really like Gushers. It's nice and purpley. It's got a really like distinctive smell.
Yeah, it's super sweet smelling.
Really fruity.
Yeah.
When I smell it, I want it, you know?
Like, mm-hmm. And it always has a shitload of crystals on it.
Yep. Never a bad thing to have a bunch of crystals in the jar.
And you got a blunt?
I do have a blunt also. It's a King Palm wrap. And inside is Chocolato.
Ooh.
It's a sativa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sativa. The shop's been really light on their sativas recently. But,
get it together, guys.
But of the three that were there, that was a really nice one, so I decided to go for it. Today we're doing Rob's mystery, which is?
It's the disappearance of Karen Mitchell.
I researched this one, too.
I had a feeling you would do this one, and I was very scared.
I got close, but I got stuck on positivity, and I didn't want to get lost in somebody who died or went missing or anything.
Well, the death is really just the...
Oh, way to spoil it. It's a death?
Well...
You just said she was missing, vanished, and not...
Spoiler alert.
Well, she still disappeared. So... we don't know if she is dead, but one would assume by this point.
Yeah.
Well, clearly I have no idea about this. I did not do more research than I had to.
Basically, I was glossing over like different listicles and whatnot, and you know, just kind of glazed over look about Thanksgiving themed mysteries.
I was so surprised how many there were.
There were a surprising amount.
A lot of deaths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Halloween, I knew there'd be a lot of mysteries around Halloween, but Thanksgiving, there's a lot of Turkey Day stuff.
I mean, I know families fight a lot during Thanksgiving, so I guess shit goes down.
Yeah, maybe. Well, what's the case with Karen Mitchell?
I mean, it was just a bunch of words in this listicle, and then I came across...
Whoa, no pictures?
there are a couple pictures. Okay. Sure.
I'm back on.
But one name stuck out, and I'll get to that. Let me just set the scene. So Karen Mitchell was last seen on November 25th, 1997. So about 20 years.
21.
21, yeah.
This mystery can drink.
In Eureka, California.
Eureka!
Do we know where Eureka is?
Yeah, it's up north, like...
Golden Triangle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like on your way to Reno or whatever?
Yeah, it's by Humboldt.
Okay.
You know, where the best weed is.
Yeah, well, like if you're on your way to Portland.
For sure. Yeah.
The Golden Triangle is a reference to a section of California where they grow a ton of really good pot.
You got that mist coming in from the ocean and some good rock and...
Some mountainous terrain and like sun-facing slopes, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful area.
It's a beaut.
I believe that's where they shot Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
Oh?
Yeah.
Indoor.
Yes, that's indoor. So she was on Thanksgiving break from her school, and it was just 5 days away from her 17th birthday. She was walking from Coastal Family Development Center, where she worked, and it was in the afternoon. She went over to her aunt's business. She owned a shoe business in the mall. And she went over there, visited with her, and left at about 2:45 on her way to, she worked at like a daycare.
Okay.
So she was on her way there, and she was never seen or heard from since.
And it was her aunt who said that she left?
Yes. Her aunt was her like legal guardian.
And she worked at
break.
And she worked at this daycare that she was going to?
She worked at what?
The daycare that she was headed to?
Yeah, she was going to the daycare where she worked.
Okay, got you. So how many toddlers did she wrong at this daycare?
Who has she made enemies
with? Are there any small children who have significant vendettas?
They were just pissed that her weed declined in quality.
So there was one witness, supposed witness to this disappearance. This guy came forward saying that he saw a woman matching Karen's description get into a light blue four-door sedan with the California license plates and a Eureka plate frame.
Just to interject, one thing I'm noticing, especially as you bring up this guy who's like the witness we don't, you know anything about, is I notice these witnesses are just like some, they're continually said as just, there's this guy. It's right. Never like Dan Smith and like, you know, an ophthalmologist in, you know, or whatever. It's never a description. I just imagine these people, because they don't give me a description.
Some vagrant.
Yes, the least credible source. Right. I saw her. She got right in that blue car over there with the guy. And he was about mid-40s, about mid-height, about mid-weight. I'd say he was about mid-ethnicity.
You know, like, I mean, sure, I was drinking a fifth of vodka. But...
It was Joe Normal Guy. You know the guy.
And, of course, I don't see so good with my glaucoma and several injuries from the war. Like, who is this guy saying I saw him getting a blue car?
Some guy, apparently he like was like almost run off the road by this guy. Because he went and like turned around wildly to pick this girl up, and that's why he like noticed, like something stuck out about that.
But she got in willingly.
Yeah, well, he he was up the road and he noticed that car was the one that turned around when he started passing this girl. Oh. And he saw the car, and that's like how he noticed. He couldn't tell, like, the make or model of the car, but he knew it was...
Of course not. You know, why would he be able to tell the make or model of the car?
There aren't, like, things on the car that say, like, what it is.
Someone should start that, you know? That would be helpful. I bet the cops could use that.
It'd be nice if they had some kind of, like, plate on there with numbers and letters that identified every car. Again, this is why we see this guy as, like, so unreliable.
I mean, you can't pay attention to every single detail.
No,
you're
for
driving
sure.
off, you're going to work.
I only mean that I have this picture of like the filthiest, scruffiest man in the city. Like the least reliable source.
Some tweaker, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he at least has a car.
Yeah.
This guy.
He was driving.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't know about me, but if someone does a bullshit move in a car, I'm like, I need to see what this fucking person looks like.
Yeah,
who is driving like this stupid idiot.
Mm-hmm. I really notice.
I've been the stupid idiot before too and gotten the look as they pass, like, yep, that's me.
I do stupid things.
I totally stupid in that.
One day it's gonna be me just what's up, Chris?
So he said that the guy driving the car was like an old guy, like with white hair, like 60 to 70 years old.
Okay, so he did get an ID on the guy a little bit.
Yeah, he could see the guy's face. And,
okay.
You know, he got a decent look, but not like a very... He wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup or anything like that. So he just said, like, white hair, light blue shirt, that kind of thing.
Again, this guy... Whoa, don't put me in a lineup or anything. I can tell you a few details, but I'm not totally sure about any of this.
Yeah, like, he's driving off in the opposite direction. He can't, like, tell faces.
No doubt.
And the guy was driving, like, a 70s, like, 1970s model type car. And so it was, like, a pretty distinct car to be driving in 1997, you know. So that's why, like, all that stuff kind of stuck out to him.
Gotcha.
But when he gave the description matched pretty closely to Robert Durst.
Mm. He's a multi-killer, right?
Yeah, he's a pretty bad dude.
I believe they call those guys serial killers.
Multi-killer.
I'm just trying to coin a new term. He's a multi-killer, right?
He could kill multiple at once.
Two birds, one stone.
Oh.
So, no, Robert Durst, yes, he is a suspected serial killer, if you will. But he's really probably the biggest celebrity killer that America has.
A celebrity or he kills celebrities?
No, he's a celebrity that kills.
Okay.
Is it Batman or Man Bat?
Ketchup? Catsup.
Multi-bat.
So he's a multi-killer.
Yeah. So
celebrity multi-killer.
Celebrity multi-killer. He's really turned, you know, killing into an art form.
Yeah.
He really changed the game.
I mean, basically, that's all the information about Karen Mitchell's
disappearance.
That's all the evidence that they have. That's all the...
just one guy.
Just one guy's statement.
That is a cold case.
Poor thing.
But... a little background onto Robert Durst and why it very likely could be him.
Okay.
So Robert Durst is a son to the Durst estate.
The Durst estate.
Yeah, he's one of the heirs, one of two heirs.
Oh, yes. Well, so
is he really Robert Durst the third?
Durst
estate. He is the oldest of the two sons, so he would be like... like, kind of like a first in line type of thing.
Is he the older brother to Fred?
Fred
Durst? Yeah, I've been wondering if there was any relation.
Limp Bizkit.
He's a multi-killer as well. I did. My earlobes. And drums. All of my ears.
Heir to the Limp Bizkit estate.
I mean, he has some pretty angry songs. It's just one of those days, you know? Where you want to kill lots of people.
Frederick, when are you going to give up the music game?
You don't understand me, Mom.
Like me.
It's my passion.
Come back and tend to the horses.
Anyway, not Fred Durst. Robert Durst.
The Durst estate is valued in the billions of dollars.
Billions?
Robert Durst himself has approximately a net worth of around $65 million.
I mean, yeah, when you're that rich, you got to find new ways to entertain yourself. It's the oldest story. Hunting the greatest chase, you know?
Yeah, you can only, like, buy the neighbors and have them humiliate themselves for so long.
Well, right. At least the nookie was good enough for Fred.
I thought he did it for the cookie.
Yeah. No, so you can take that.
Oh, that's right.
And you can stick it up your yeah.
Is that a Fred Durst song?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
I like the one he did with Method Man, personally.
Oh, keep rolling.
No, that's not the one he did with Method Man.
Keep rolling.
The one he did with Method Man was where...
it was DMX, Redman, Method Man, and we just keep on rolling.
I don't know. I'm thinking of the one that Pauly Shore did the music video for where he was like the pizza guy.
No.
That is like the
this is a wing of culture.
That is a black hole of the 90s.
That I do my best to avoid
sure in the music
entirely.
Video.
I had that one Limp Bizkit album that seemed to be on heavy rotation on MTV way back when I was just a teenager that didn't know what good music was. So Robert Durst, I was about to say Fred. So Robert Durst was living in Trinidad, which is near it's in the Emerald Triangle, so to speak.
The Golden Triangle.
Well, it's also called the Emerald Triangle.
The Green Triangle.
The Green, for all the ganja.
Yeah.
So he was living in that area at the time. Robert moved to that area to get away from his family, where he was kind of considered to be something of a black sheep. his mother had committed suicide when he was 7 years old.
Aww. Or did she?
Children of the Corn.
Yes. Something interesting to me. They have changed the lexicon of that.
Mm.
Instead of saying committed suicide, now we say died by suicide.
Died by suicide. Yes.
Because you don't like commit yourself to taking your own life, I think is the idea behind the change in that. I don't know.
I knew we'll committing suicide.
I'm not
was
sure if there's
wrong.
A bigger commitment than suicide.
Yes. Does that go for like old terms too? So it'd be like death by seppuku instead of committing seppuku?
I guess so, yeah. Same idea. Seppuku.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also a cultural thing, right? We'd have to ask the culture.
I guess, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure there are people who could better explain it than me. But,
yeah, no, I didn't know the proper lexicon to use. I just knew that I was wrong for saying it. The report says that she committed suicide, so I just, you know, I copy and paste all this nonsense.
Yeah, it's just, it's a newly, like, outdated thing. So, yeah, died by suicide.
So she died by suicide when he was 7 years old. And Durst would tell people that she did it in front of him.
Oh, ouch.
But that's
he
just...
was six.
Seven.
Oh, seven.
Yeah.
Like, does he have a story, or is it just like, yeah, that happened, or is he like play by play, she sat me down and this is how she did it?
No, it's just I mean, I'm sure he could bullshit something.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells people, yeah, that she did it in front of him, but you know, family members can attest to no
you weren't there when it happened.
Okay, so it's just his own weird, like, way of living it or whatever,
or getting people to sympathize
You'll
with him
find
lower
out
their
that
guard.
He's a pathological liar. A real psychopath. He told people that he had children that he didn't have, and that he owned businesses that he didn't own, and that he was like an expert in fields that he knew nothing about. Like at
no
one time,
tried to have a conversation with him about a conversation. Be like, nah, that's not right, dude.
Apparently, he was pretty charismatic. You know,
he could bullshit a bullshitter.
Yeah, yeah, he was, you know, good at that kind of stuff, but also bad because he would just make stuff up that was clearly, no, you don't. And he would just do it. He would just say it. So Karen's aunt said that the one that owns the shoe company said that Durst had been at her shoe store twice before.
Mm.
And one of the times he was there, he was wearing a dress. He dressed as a woman.
Mm. So that's a memorable experience.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's clearly bad because she's like, no, that's you, Durst. You're not faking me. But yeah, so like
he could just be experimenting with gender.
Sure. He well, yeah, maybe. It
doesn't point to anything negative necessarily.
No,
doesn't
I'm
make
just
you
saying
a killer, yeah.
Yeah, no, it does not. It does not do that. But I'm just saying he did it in a way that was... He wasn't trying to convince anyone.
Sure.
Exactly.
Like, he was still acting like himself and just wearing a dress.
Yeah, yeah. So,
trying to make a new fashion thing, you know? Dresses aren't just for girls. We can do it too.
That's right.
More power.
And,
let
but
those
the...
balls hang.
That's right. Wouldn't be the first time. Although, if you're not talking, you're not doing it right.
As RuPaul would say.
That's a meaty tuck, honey.
Robert Durst was also looked into as a suspect in another abduction case in the Oakland area that had similarities to Karen, where a cross-dresser was spotted in transient shelters where an 18-year-old would later turn up missing.
Oh, no.
So
he, like, frequented those places? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was going to places.
He's, like, hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to homeless shelters, and he's, like, preying on the people that don't have, you know, the lost people, if you will.
Is he, like, definitely killing some people at this time? Is it just conjecture? Is it just a lot of people go missing and he happens to be around?
Well, at this time, yes, there have been some things that have happened in his past that might have led to people believing that he was a killer.
Okay.
And it's coming up, trust me.
All right.
So When police were investigating the disappearance in Oakland for that 18-year-old, they interviewed a sex worker that had been arrested for narcotics. And they thought that she might have known something about the missing 18-year-old because she was missing there in that transient area. And they showed her a picture of Robert Durst and said that she recognized him as a person that frequented the homeless shelter up in Eureka.
Mm.
And that homeless shelter in Eureka is the same one that Karen Mitchell volunteered at.
There you go.
So this is like, you know, all the way out in Oakland, you know, it's pretty far distance from Eureka. And she's saying, no, he's a guy up in Eureka that, you know, would hang out at the homeless shelters up there.
Right.
He didn't, you know, he wasn't around here. So that is one thing that led people to believe that he might have been the person. But even a psychic said that a murder had been committed in the Durst home.
There's been a murder.
Not a suicide.
No.
And this this is a psychic that went to the neighbor of the home and told the neighbor, like, hey, I'm feeling something about that house. Sure.
They came over and they went, wah, 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 wah,
wah. I feel something in your walls.
So
that's my psychic character.
She got bad vibes from it, basically.
Okay.
And
we know how reliable psychics always are.
Well,
to a fault, they're more reliable than lie detector tests, as I understand it.
I'm just saying, she, you know, she told this neighbor, and that neighbor would later on commit suicide, or what?
Died by suicide.
Died by suicide.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But the person that the neighbor, she owned a campground, which Robert Durst would later murder and dismember a man. So he definitely eventually killed a person, murdered and dismembered that person, but he would be acquitted because it was all in what he claimed self-defense.
What?
Yeah.
You got to make sure that person doesn't come back after you. You know? Like, you don't want to just knock him out because then they come back.
Dismembered him in self-defense.
Yes. Dismembered him and hit him in this campground.
The only way that makes sense is in the Black Knight guarding the bridge in the Holy Grail scenario, where he will not stop and you have to cut off all his limbs.
Merely a flesh wound.
What? You do not dismember someone in self-defense.
If you've got $65 million, you do. And he was acquitted.
Fair enough. And this guy's super
white,
good
ass lawyers.
Right? What's that?
This guy's super white, correct?
Yes, very white.
Okay.
He's more white than me.
Okay.
He's got white hair and everything.
So he's basically a tub of mayos with a hat.
Yes.
Tub of mayos.
I don't know. All the mayos.
Yeah, several different kinds of mayos in one tub wearing a hat. That's how white this guy is. It is 4:20 right now, and woo-woo! I did just spark our second blunt of the episode, which, if you're keeping track, is our second blunt after the super blunt, the tie stick. So we're on blunt number 3.
Counting.
And I'm really stoned.
So, 3 blunts.
So there was one other possible suspect in this Karen Mitchell disappearance.
Tell me about him.
In 1999, a truck driver by the name of Wayne Adam Ford walked into the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office with a woman's breast in his pocket.
Ay, ay, ay.
Sweet,
and
bro.
And claimed to have killed 4 women.
Oh, God.
I might not sleep after that one.
Yeah.
That is next level terrifying.
Staggering. I'm just going to take this for later.
Oh, no.
Or just proof that I am a killer. Yeah, like, right. You guys don't believe me. I got a titty in my pocket.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I thought I'd be met with a lot of skepticism when I came down here, so I made sure to bring proof.
That's rocky, bro. Yeah.
Whoa.
Do they ever, like,
that's one of the worst things
DNA
I've heard
test or blood test to see whose titty that belonged to?
You know, I didn't get that far.
Nipple print.
I didn't dig into him. The thing about him is that while he was in prison, Karen's mother visited him and showed him a picture of Karen and asked him right out, like, "Did you kill my daughter?" And he said, quote, "She looks like she could have been one of mine," end quote. But ultimately, if she wanted any more information, that she would have to write him. And like he would like there would be a correspondence, quid pro quo type of Hannibal Lecter type stuff.
But she was like, nah.
No, she didn't want to give this guy her address or anything like that. Yeah. And she ultimately believed that he was just lonely and wanted, you know, to talk to some. Yeah, exactly.
Now, is this guy like famous and everything and like on the news? And can you see him talking and stuff? Because I really wonder what he sounds like.
Wayne Adam Ford?
No, Robert Durst.
Oh, Robert Durst?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of video of him. He's sat in many a trial.
And always acquitted?
Yes. So here some are
good
just
lawyers,
a,
man.
A Seriously. Few possible cases that he could have been involved in. Durst is also a suspect, suspected of murdering three individuals in different states. Kathleen McCormick Durst, his first wife, disappeared in New York in 1982. Gone.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Susan Berman, his longtime friend, was killed in California in 2000.
First of all, this guy's a dummy. Like, killer 101, you don't kill people that you're associated with. Like, then you're like the number true. One suspect.
Yeah. I mean, you probably guess. Don't kill your friends either.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, the people you're immediately yeah. associated with.
Yeah. And
is this the guy American Psycho is based off of?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
It's very heavily based off of this that guy.
Don't show him your business card.
I know, right?
And Morris Black, who was killed in Texas in 2001, and that's the guy that he claimed, yeah, I killed and dismembered him in self-defense. But there was not enough evidence linking him to his first wife's disappearance, but he is currently awaiting trial for the death of his friend Susan Berman. So the jury hasn't, you know, they haven't gone to trial yet, but he's waiting.
But I'm sure he's not like waiting in jail. He's chilling.
No, he's waiting in jail.
Oh, he is? Yeah, okay. No. I thought with his monies he was like on bail, chilling.
Like on a boat.
It's, right? Yeah, that's a flight risk and everything. And he was, they were looking for him during the Morris Black death. And he was on the run. And they eventually found him in Louisiana with like 5 ounces of weed on him. And I think he was wearing a wig or something like that.
Wow. But
yeah, he's a pretty crazy dude, but when he was acquitted of that, they immediately tacked on this Susan Berman thing. So he's just been waiting for that trial now.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's
they've just basically extended his court date and stuff to keep him in jail because they're pretty sure he did something because he's obviously done something.
Yeah. So he was living in the area at the time. He frequented the area that Karen volunteered at.
Right. He was placed at the scene of the crime, basically, for both cases.
He's regularly around when people go missing.
Yeah, and he's like, he's just going from state to state in different, like, you know, poor areas or, you know, trying to pick up on homeless people mm-hmm. or people that, you know, would just be lost in the system. And so you would see him, he had houses fucking all these places. So
isn't that still considered circumstantial?
You know what, I don't care if Robert Durst places. But yeah, no, this is all obviously. He did definitely murder Morris Black. so I could say that.
But without... whether it was in self-defense or not.
Yeah.
Whether he dismembered him in self-defense.
The court ruled it was in self-defense. Yeah. And if we trust in the American judicial system.
Which I'll just go ahead and say I personally do not.
No, they get it wrong a lot.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, something to think about. In order to become a judge, you first have to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know, it's got to be terrible if you're like, you're the judge and you're like, no, come on, lawyer, just bring up this case and you'd be scot-free, you know, or something like that. Like, they could probably chime in on a lot of these cases, but they just can't interfere. You know, like, they would know the law, too, where it's like, oh, yeah, no, if he just brought up this one argument in this one case.
Well, I just meant more that, like, a lot of lawyers are known for being, like, shady or like not
exactly
doing things for the right reasons or just trying to get money, and so when they become judges, I feel like that kind of carries over. Like, they don't really care about justice. They just like, get these people in and out so I can fucking do my shit. And
well, just as many, I mean, attorneys are hopefully on the right side of things. You have defense attorneys, and their whole job is to believe in the innocence of people. You
also, I mean, that's their job description.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, their job is to get their defendant off, you know.
A police description is also to, like, protect and serve, but I feel like that doesn't happen a lot of times.
Yeah, for sure.
I might be stepping on a lot of toes here. My name's Tristan.
Yeah, don't get it confused with Robert.
Right.
I echo your politics for the record.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's bad apples in all different types of bunches. It's just for sure. When lawyers are, by definition, supposed to defend killers and rapists and all that kind of stuff, it makes it very hard to stand up for some of those people when you're like, the guy is so clearly guilty, why are you trying to get him off?
Well, and don't forget, lawyers pick their cases.
Well, you know, unless you're a public defender.
Yeah, for sure. But they decide the cases they work on as well. So if there's somebody who defends murderers and thieves or whatever, they choose to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Johnny Cochran chose to be Johnny Cochran.
There's plenty of good lawyers out there. I don't know.
Right. I'm not trying to make a blanket statement and saying, like, every single person is this way. Like, there's there's exceptions to every...
Of course.
Every statement.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Robert Durst is a real fucking fascinating dude, and I'll probably do another mystery or two about him because there's just a lot more stories that really, you know, weren't directly related to this case.
Can you go interview him for us in person? That would be great.
Any chance we get to mention Fred Durst in an
episode? God, I couldn't. I mean, you know, reading this entire article and stuff, it never crossed my mind Fred Durst's name. I'm just glad you brought it up.
I want to kind of go back to Karen, though, because this is Karen's mystery.
It is.
How old was Karen when she disappeared?
She was 5 days away from her 17th birthday.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
She was, like, already, like, applying to colleges and stuff.
Not smart enough to not get in a rando's car.
Yeah.
Unless he wasn't a rando to her.
Well, yeah.
She might just have known him as somebody else.
As
she
somebody might not. From the homeless shelter that would, like, be there or something.
I'd be like, wait, I see you at the homeless shelter all the time. Now you've got a car. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, and this guy is an insanely wealthy dude in town.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just maybe, I'd take a ride at 17.
I mean, you're also opening doors to people, like... We've had those mysteries where you're like, yeah, I'd open the door to like that struggling girl who's like, oh, please, sir.
For the struggling woman, yes.
I don't have a big guy behind me.
Struggling dude, no. Sorry. You're on your own, buddy. Should have taken a self-defense course.
Sexist.
Struggling woman, yes. They've had it hard enough. I'm going to try and do my part.
Some women who could do
some
damage.
Kick some dude's ass. Although if it's a woman chasing after a woman, then I'm conflicted. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know what to do.
I would be like, go to a woman's house.
Talk it out.
There's another woman down the hall. Please.
And that's why Rob won't have intervened. He'll be on the news.
Why didn't you intervene? I was too caught up in gender politics. Yeah.
I mean, you see a person attacking a person.
I just wanted to defend my own, you know, gender. I didn't want to attack another gender. I'll beat up someone of my own gender. Of course, now I'm assuming gender.
You just turn your body into a dome and try to protect her as best you can. Turtler.
I need to get one of those Batman capes.
Yeah, there you go. That, like, steals up. Yeah. Or the Spawn cape.
Yeah, oh, that's it.
Speaking of which, I heard that they're making a new Spawn movie.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Is it going to be rated R?
I think so.
Better
Thank
be.
God, because that PG-13 was a what?
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
Farting green stripes into his underwear.
Oh, God. I mean, it's a pretty decent movie.
For its time.
Up until the very end when they have that terrible CGI
For its time, though,
volcano
wasn't
dude. The demon from hell or something like
Satan.
Yeah,
when he actually like goes down to hell.
Yeah, and he's talking to Satan, and it's just this weird screensaver image, basically.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember. And there's like a bunch of demons instead of just one, and like a bunch of spawns.
Yeah.
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 But he's the ultimate one, so.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the cooler of the superheroes, you know.
He's like,
That like tanked that guy's career pretty much.
He was in The Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, he's one of the thugs in The Dark Knight, I guess.
That's right.
One of like the guys who meets the general criminals who meet with the Joker.
Is he the guy that gets stabbed in the head with the pencil?
Maybe.
Oh man, he can't stay alive in movies.
No, he's not the guy who gets stabbed with the pencil.
Okay.
The guy who gets stabbed with the pencil is one of his guys, but his he's lackeys. The one who the Joker is brought to him, presumably dead.
He's the main dude.
And then he tells him the story. Let's put a smile on that face.
Yeah.
Why so serious?
R.I.P.
Yep. That's the first time he tells the story about his face, I think.
Well, I'm thankful for that movie.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. Yeah. I'm thankful for the amount of blunts we just smoked and how ridiculously stoned it's gotten me.
Yeah, I'm thankful for those blunts.
I feel like that Chocolato is heavier than I expected it to be. Or maybe it's just the combination of so much THC in our system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a weird one.
Chris, you're sober over there. How you feel?
Boy, this coffee's got me strung out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess we'll be seeing you at Christmas too. We should have some type of.
I already have one.
You have a Christmas one? Yeah.
I already have a Christmas.
No. I mean, like, yeah, we're gonna have a Christmas special though. We should have to. Think of if we should do any special blunts or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I could bring Christmas. In, like, a Bila.
I think our Christmas recording is going to be, like, one of the most difficult ones to get through because we'll all three have something special for the holidays, I think.
Nice. Yeah, there's got to be a ton of Christmas mysteries.
Yeah.
Can we do any? Can it be, like,
any?
Hanukkah mystery? Why
I'll do Krampus. No, maybe.
No,
who knows?
No, don't do Krampus.
The night is young.
But just like themed to the holidays, not specifically
Christmas. Yeah, no. I am not. I'll be honest with you, fans. I'm not a fan of Christmas. Don't like it.
Bah humbug.
Yeah, no.
I know, right?
I celebrate the month of December. I think it's a fun month. So, yeah, I like
the festiveness.
I like just the month of it, in general, like it's the end of the month. You get to start a new month coming up. New year, I mean. Oh, man, the end of the month is so great when you're about to start a new one. I like December. I like how there's like movies that, you know, if they're filmed in December, then they have like Christmas in them, but they're not about it.
Right, you're all that Christmas adjacent list.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a fan of Christmas. I like all holidays around the end of the year. I enjoy New Year's too. So that's another.
Do you have a
resolution that you've got planned?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to lose.
Is it to be even scroogier than last year?
Scroogier?
Yeah, get down on fucking Christmas.
I've always hated Christmas. What? They haven't been a great time of year for me. But
we'll change that, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. With more blunts.
Yes.
Yeah, resolution. Yeah, lose weight, I guess. Get in shape. Maybe that's about it. That's all.
Nice.
I guess I can't think of anything else.
Well, we'll ask again when we get a little closer.
Yeah.
They're still
yeah.
Pretty
It'll
far
be the
out.
Same damn thing. It'll be the same thing next resolution.
I don't do resolutions.
Because you can make a change at any point. Who needs a new year to start it?
Exactly. Dates are arbitrary.
You want change? Now.
Yeah, that's right. Change now.
Activate.
Sounds like a self-help seminar or something. Change now. Don't be satisfied with the you that you are. You could be so much better than you are. Change now.
Don't you want to be you at 101%?
Change now.
Guarantee that 1%.
Don't you wonder what it would be like if you had the strength of a toad? Change now! Don't you wonder what it would be like if you had the eyes of a panther? Change now! Change now! Ah!
He starts eating his own eyes.
I don't know. It's change now, you know?
I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling invigorated to go make some self-changes.
I could change now,
I'm down
guess.
To eat my own eyeballs. The guy makes it look so appealing and tasty.
Oh, man. Is there any kind of, like, missing persons hotline for that or anything?
No.
Oh.
I mean, no. There, no.
Well, there you have it. No.
Yeah, if you think Robert Durst killed this lady, then, yeah, don't call her mom or anything. They already know.
There's usually like 1-800 missing persons, something or other.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if you did it and you want to take credit for it, let Rob know. He is very accepting to people and will just
open his doors.
Oh, yeah.
He'll just fling open that door.
I mean,
door.
If you're a woman in distress, yes, I will help you out. I'm sorry. That's what I'm programmed to do.
And across the world, several desperate women's ears picked up. And Robert didn't know it yet, but he found love.
Everlasting love.
In the most distressful of times.
This is the story of Open Doors for Women in Crisis.
No, it's not. Change now!
I zip off my bodysuit.
Oh gosh, it's the Change Now guy.
He's back with the eyes of a panther.
Oh, he did it. He speaks the
and
truth.
The strength of a toad.
What do you think? Should we legitimately go on tour with Change Now and eat our own eyeballs to make change across the country? Please find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes.
You know the things.
You can find us on our website, highmystery.com. You can email us at highmysterypodcast@gmail.com.
Let us know what you're thankful for.
Let us know what you think might have happened to Karen, or if you think Robert Durst definitely did it, or if Fred Durst did it. Or maybe this is another alien abduction, or it was a ghost car that picked her up and took her into the netherworld.
Man, things...
It could have been
just
Bigfoot.
Being brought up now.
I'm sorry we didn't get time to talk about Bigfoot, guys.
I mean, this is more troubling. Bigfoot can drive a car.
That means it's time to end the podcast. When Colin drops the 50-cent piece that he's been twirling through the whole episode. It's tails up, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
Change now!
Let's try one more time. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Robert.
I'm still Chris.
And you decide if you want to change now or not.
No pressure. You do you.